It's time to talk Sabres hockey. Big changes at KeyBank Center. Let's hear all about it. Coach Lindy Ruff is being brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By Catholic Health. And by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. Now, with head coach Lindy Ruff, here's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Hey, good morning. Happy Wednesday. Lots on the Bills today. Amari Cooper and the acquisition of a receiver for the Bills to help this offense. We'll get to Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff in a few minutes here as we prepare for a game night and a set of three games for the Sabres that Joe is 6 points asking for too much. Can I ask for at least four, and I'll settle for five out of six. Might want all six.
You take four. You take five.
Four
you
be
take,
the, you have to four, take five. Four is the minimum.
Okay.
Five is a coin flip away from six. It's Pittsburgh, Columbus, Chicago. You're better than those teams last year. Columbus, be better than Chicago. Them this year.
I'd like them to win all three.
Get all three. Definitely.
I think I'd like them to win all three. Yeah, get to a winning record.
Beat Pittsburgh.
4-3 on the year. Yeah, Pittsburgh's old. Right? Are they good? They're done, right?
They're 2-2, but no, they're probably not going to be very good.
I think they're pretty thin. I think they're pretty old. I think they're probably a little bit cooked.
Well, we are getting compared to what they have. That time of year where Sabres game nights are routine. It's a Wednesday night hockey. Good.
Yeah.
Could have used it last night, but whatever. Sabres and Penguins tonight, and they looked a lot better on the weekend against Florida, beating the defending cup champs. They got the reverse of what they had in their opener against the Kings, which is the goalie gave them some back.
Yeah.
You get some of those nights, too.
Yeah.
You know what for.
I did not go find a Sabre backer bar in New York.
No?
No. There was one, though. We did look it up. We watched the game anyway, and Florida too. I mean, they didn't have Barkov, right? And they didn't have Tkachuk. But give me wins against Florida.
Yep.
Any way you could get them, because they have tough division games all year, and any win you could get against the top three teams, four teams especially, that might look good at the end of the year. Might be helpful at the end of the year.
Tonight's face-off, 7 o'clock. It is Sabres and Penguins. We'll go to the Wester Hotline. Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff joins us. Lindy, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Game day. Happy game day.
Yeah, thank you. Looking forward to it.
Well, I wanted to start off asking you a couple of injury things first, get those out of the way. J.J. Paterka, Zach Benson, where things stand with those two?
J.J. had a good day yesterday. We'll get in there this morning. Probably an optional skate, but see how he's making out, and he's a possibility for tonight. Benson is just dealing with one of those nagging little injuries that you can play with that I think is kind of limiting a little bit, but he is available to play too.
And you decided in the last game against Florida to kind of just limit him a bit because of that? Is it the kind of thing where can it get worse, or is it just about his effectiveness?
I think it's more about effectiveness than anything else. I got down to, in that game, got down to three lines. So I just felt probably for him, the way it was going, didn't play him that much.
When it comes to Saturday's game, after Thursday against the Kings, you said you had a lot to like and you're mad about a couple of minutes. How does that compare to Saturday's game against Florida, which was a win and a strong effort pretty much from start to finish?
Yeah, it was almost a mirror image, except for those couple minutes that we had against L.A. I thought we played a strong game away from the puck. Energy was really good inside the game. So really feel that we've got ourselves in a good place and just got to continue to play that way and we'll win hockey games.
I saw that last year, one of the ways that the Florida Panthers and the Buffalo Sabres were the farthest apart was goals generated by the forecheck. The Panthers, that's how they play. That's how they score a lot. And for the Sabres in the last couple of years, that's been something that's been missing. To beat them and to beat them in that way, to me, that was impressive. I want to ask you about that part of the game for this group and whether it's Jordan Greenway or some of the other players you like that can force the issue offensively on the forecheck. How much of a focus that's been?
Well, I think every team does a real good job of identifying what team's strengths are. And I think, Buffalo has been a great team off the rush. So when you're forcing dump-ins and you've got to generate chances in different ways, obviously, you have to do it by forechecking. I think you can do it with size. You can do it with quickness. You can do it by making sure you outnumber people. But I think we've been getting to pucks quick. Our puck recoveries have been good. We're near the top when it comes to that. So when you look at a guy like Greenway, though, you know, physically, they have a tough time handling him down low, and that's where he's most effective. And we're going to continue to work on that part of our game. I've liked where we're getting our game to, you know, once we've dumped the puck in.
Lindy Ruff with us on the Western Hotline. Greenway being an example of that, and also something you wanted to see and talked about after the first couple of games, Lindy was finishing. Him being low around the net with that goal against the Panthers on this weekend, is that the type of goal you're hoping to see more from the guys like around the net, like kind of crashing the front and also having the ability to finish that? Because that's a top shelf goal there.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, I'd like to add like a half a goal a game with goals like that. I think if you remember the play where Greenway missed the opportunity off the backside too, where I think it was McLeod who shot past to the backside of the goaltender, those type of goals too, and Greenway had an empty net, would have been a lot easier goal than he scored. But I think, you know, the first opportunity, we've been missing the net too often, which has hurt us. We've talked about that as a team. I think if you hit the net more, the second opportunities are there. But it is getting to the inside in a hurry. I think, you know, another goal would be a great example is the chaos that was created before the Samuelson goal. The opportunities we had around the net, the bodies that were around the net, and then all of a sudden you've got an open guy that's putting a puck almost into an open net.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Sabres play the Penguins tonight. A road trip here, a couple of games, a regular road trip, not an overseas road trip. You know, you've got a couple before coming home next week, Tuesday, against the Dallas Stars. I don't have any way to look this up. How many games have you coached against Sidney Crosby? I mean, he's been around for a long time, and he's been one of the best players of all time, of course. And you've got another look at him and the Penguins tonight.
Yeah, you know, a ton of respect for him, obviously coaching against him and actually coaching him in a couple of Olympics where you really get to see what a player is all about when you're behind the bench, you're in practice with him. And I think he's an example of how, you know, he was able to change his game and become a player that was able to, you know, score a lot of goals down low, a tip goal, screen goals, rebound goals. I think Sidney's play below the dots is, for an elite player, is really one of the best in the league when it comes to, you know, trying to score on those types of opportunities. So we know he's still dangerous, and we have to be aware of him. We've got to know where he's at all the time.
This week at practice, Lindy, the story about Dahlin and Krebs, the hit, the fight that happened at practice, if you would even call it a fight at practice, your reaction to that? And is it any different when it's the captain that's involved in something like that?
No, not at all. You know, I think we've put together very competitive practices. And, you know, we're not out there to hurt each other in practice, but we're trying to get in the way of people. We're trying to get into the body. I think on some instances, you know, you're going to see tempers flare a little bit. And I think like on any team, you know, if somebody feels that they've got a cheap shot or they shouldn't have got hit as hard as they got hit in practice, you know, boys will be boys. They'll get mad at each other. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think both players were able to laugh about it afterwards.
When it comes to things you're working on, you know, things you said you've been pretty happy with the last two games at home, LA and Florida. One thing that's not clicking right now, the power play. Is it a matter of just you feel like it's due? Because the Kings game, it felt like you maybe deserved more goals than you got. And the power play, are you feeling like those will come, or are there problems that you're working on fixing?
Yeah, no, there's problems we're working on fixing. I really felt the Kings game, you know, we had, I believe we had 9 high danger opportunities on the power play, and our entries were around 73%, which would be tops in the league. Felt we got a little disconnected in the Florida game, and we didn't get much going on. We're trying to get closer to each other, not so spread out on the power play, and again, more of a five-on-five mentality where we're getting more people around the net. I'd like to see our power play get lower, not operate around the top of the circles, but operate really from the hash marks down. So I thought we had a real good practice again yesterday and stressed that area. And we've had some moving pieces, which I think has been a little bit disruptive. I always felt that, you know, once you can find those five guys you keep together and they start working with each other, even on an individual basis on the power play, your power play starts to click. I have no doubt it's going to start to click, and we're going to continue to work on it. And, I think getting JJ back, if we get him back tonight, we're changing the pieces around, but I think he's going to be an important guy for our power play.
Yeah, looking at some of the units that have been on the ice together, either in games or in practice, Lindy, trying to, guess at, or whether you have a philosophy or not, of there being like a number one unit that you want out there all the time versus two maybe more balanced units. I mean, in general, I think you would want two great good units, but do you have a philosophy on that? Like whether you want like one stacked unit versus another?
I think the success on almost every team has come from a unit that is a team's best unit. That would be like an A unit, but you need two good. I think when your first unit goes out there for like a minute 20 and they don't score, that second unit, and then I feel we can really have a good second unit, can chip in goals for us and has a threat of being as good as the first unit. But my philosophy on it is you find your five best guys, and that's the guys you work with and you live with, and they become your best power play.
In terms of Devin Levi's play over the weekend, another strong start, in your opinion, for him?
Yeah, I thought a real strong start. I when I looked at the game, I thought probably one of the best games that we've played in front of Devin. I had a conversation with him even the last 30 minutes. I think we only gave up one opportunity. Third period where maybe we gave up one opportunity. So I think it was a game that I liked him in. He made a couple of really good saves early on in the game for us. But he's looked really good. He's looked quick. He's been great in practice. I like where both goalies have got their game at.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff ahead of tonight's game with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Lindy, thanks very much for the time. We'll chat again.
Hey, you're welcome. We'll see you guys.
Yep. Thanks, Lindy. Sabres and Penguins tonight. They play Columbus, who just played last night and had their tribute to Johnny Gaudreau. They dropped the puck and had 13 seconds of silence.
And didn't put anybody out at left wing where he would have been.
Yep.
So emotion. The pregame ceremony with the family on the ice, and then Sean Monahan scoring a goal and like pointing at the banner, like his buddy from Calgary, and then we're playing together at Columbus.
Yep.
Man.
Nice moments there. I mean, as best you could.
Put a banner up too.
Yep. So they lost. They did lose to Florida, who got the win 4-3 last night. Sabres and Penguins, 7:00.
Still Malkin and Crosby.
Really incredible.
Yes, that they've been together for now, is it 20?
It's 2005.
So it's almost 20 years together.
Yeah, right.
How often does that happen? Gretzky and Messier didn't play 20 years together.
No.
Right?
It does not happen a lot. Who are the two, here's a trivia question. The two players that played together the most in the four major sports, the longest time spent together for two individuals.
Let alone, like, all-time greats.
Yes,
even.
Yes.
football's not going to be good for this because you'll have a quarterback and then he'll have, like, a million different, like, Brady only plays, what, half his career with Gronk?
Yeah, and Edelman, same, and Welker, same.
Yeah.
The longest time together.
How long were, like, Jordan and Pippen together?
Definitely not 20 years.
No, and Jordan took off for a couple years in the middle anyway.
Yeah, and then Pippen left. And Pippen went to Houston and Portland. That might have been post-Jordan.
You know, one that just... Well, even this is not 20 years, though, but one that just wrapped up that's all-time great is Curry and Thompson.
That's right. That's a good answer.
But that's... Is that 10?
That might be...
Is it 15? I don't know when Klay Thompson got there. I'm not that familiar with them.
Jari Curry and Wayne Gretzky.
How many years?
That's pretty good.
Wayne Gretzky got to the Oilers... Or Curry got to the Oilers in 80-81. Gretzky was already there. Gretzky leaves for L.A. in 88-89.
And he went with him, right?
So that's... And he goes with him in 91-92. So Curry joins a few years later.
Yeah.
And then Curry stays there until 96. Gretzky stays there until 96.
Okay.
They almost meet again in New York, but they miss each other by a year.
Okay.
So the that's last even time together was in 96 for L.A., and that wasn't even...
But even that's 15 years, and that's right. With a break in between.
That's 15. And this, by the way, Thompson and Curry for the Golden State Warriors was only 13 years.
It's a long years. Time, but yeah. Like,
so Malkin and Crosby have them by 6 years.
Yeah.
They might be the top. They might be number one for this.
Who else it is. It's going to be some guard and left tackle that we can't think of right now.
Right, like
who played with Jackie Slater or whatever. Or what's that? Well, whom am I thinking of? Yeah, Jackie Slater. Played forever.
Jackie Slater?
Yeah.
For what team is
left
that?
Left Rams.
Okay.
20 seasons of offensive tackle with the Rams.
So all we need is a guard that played all
Someone
20 of those
who was
seasons
there
with
him. Do you have a center there?
I bet we're going to find Malkin and Crosby going to be the best example of this, though. That's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
That the whole time they've just been... And Lindy talking about Crosby there. Crosby was willing to take less money than Malkin the whole time. Like, that probably helped that along. Right? Malkin maybe getting paid a little bit extra to be, you know, the number two guy, if that even matters to him.
Stockton and Malone, how many years?
Stockton and Malone, you'd have to tell me when they started.
Oh,
and I know about when they wrapped up.
18 years.
18, that's pretty good.
A couple tweets on this. I like this. Jeter and Rivera.
That's actually who I think we have a call on that right now.
Okay.
Jeter and Rivera?
Yeah. Primo and Liston. How many years was it for Jeter and Rivera?
Had to be 20, right?
Maybe. It's in the neighborhood.
95 to 14.
Okay, right. Yeah, that's right. They go all the way to 14 together?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got 1995 to 2011 for them. 17 consecutive years.
Right, because Rivera.
Rivera, 11. Okay.
Rivera retired in 11. Okay. Close, though.
Right.
Good answer.
Right.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the phone
who
call.
Who played with... who's the Iron Man? Baseball.
Lou Gehrig?
Cal Ripken?
Cal Ripken, thank you.
Oh, Cal Ripken?
Is there another Oriole?
No.
No? Definitively, nope. There was not another Oriole.
I mean, there might have been, but, you know, as he's doing the laps for 2,131 games, or a guy behind him like, I was here for 1,500. I don't think so. He played with his brother. John and Clarence has an answer here. Hey, John.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly the time frame, but what about Willie Mays and Willie McCovey back in the day?
All right, let's see. Hold on, I gotta get my search out.
We'll check. That looks
Willie
like
McCovey.
13 years. 59 to 72.
Yep. Okay. Wow, we just stumbled over Crosby and Malkin here. Like, maybe historic.
Yeah.
And they're not done. I mean, they're going to go 2 more years together, 3 more years together. I mean, they haven't won anything in five. Look at me say they haven't won anything. They've won 3 Stanley Cups since the Sabres last played a playoff
Letang game.
Chris
Letang is also in there with them.
He's been there a long time.
He's been there the same amount of time. Or maybe
the
one
exact
year
same?
Less. Maybe 1 year less, but still.
Yeah. That's pretty wild. That's pretty insane.
Yeah.
Hockey might be good to find the other one.
Like, Tang got there in 06-07.
Okay, so all three of them, it's been 18 years. There's probably another... I think hockey might be the one to look at. Like, how long did Korea and Solani play together? I don't think Korea had a long career, actually.
Thornton and Marlowe? It's going to be a long time.
Well, Marlowe's played the most games
in NHL history.
Oh, there was another one, although this has ended, right? Ovechkin and Backstrom?
Yep.
Which, coincidentally, is like the rival of the Penguins. But Backstrom has kind of been done, I think, because of like back injuries the last couple of years, so I don't think that's been as long.
How about that all of this about the Penguins and Crosby and Malkin is because they won a drawing?
Yep.
The whole thing.
2 drawings, right?
They didn't win the lottery.
No, Malkin wasn't first.
Yeah. They didn't win the lottery so much as they won the win for life. Every single year, he's on your team again.
Yeah.
He's just going to stay. He's going to take less money, save the franchise, win cups. Because you want to... I like to demean it. by saying they won a drawing. They won a raffle. Oh, congrats. Congrats on your franchise identity. The Penguin way. Sabres had the same odds to win that lottery. It's fine. It's totally fine. Hey, I don't have the math on this, but they're playing in Pittsburgh tonight. So here are the keys to moral victory. Ready?
Okay. Oh, here we go. Again. Keys to moral victory.
Yeah. Keys to moral victory in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
The second time I've done keys to moral victory. Last time it was pretty darn good.
I said you nailed it.
I wanted them to outshoot the Kings 13-5 in the first period. It was 14-4.
Yeah.
I wanted them to not get booed. They didn't. I wanted Tage to dangle, and he did.
Yes.
Keys to moral victory. There's really only one key to moral victory, I think, for this game.
Just one?
Don't do the thing you do every time you play in Pittsburgh, which is give up 3 goals in 2 minutes. Every game they've ever played in Pittsburgh in franchise history involves the Penguins scoring 3 goals in 2 minutes to take a 3-2 lead over a Sabres team that looked like they were in control. Oh, look at this. This is great. Everything's a wah, wah, wah. Oh, all right. There you go. That's Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Although that is maybe not old Pittsburgh. Go beat the
Penguins. Maybe still.
Go beat the Penguins. Please. Please with the Penguins.
Yeah, put them. Enough of them. Time for new blood in the playoffs, right? Haven't the same seven teams made the playoffs like for 10 years?
It's been a lot.
Feels like it.
Ron and Alden. Hey, Ron.
Good morning, guys. Gilbert Perreault, Craig Ramsey, 15 or 16 years of Sabres, and Craig Ramsey needs to be in the rafters because he played his whole career with the Sabres, had good numbers, better than a couple guys up there. But those are two Sabres I can think of that played together forever. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ron. Gergensons and...
Oh. No, there's not enough. There's not a...
No.
There's no Robin to Gergensons Batman.
No, that's right. 803-0550. You can give us a call on the Amari Cooper trade if you'd like. See how long he ends up being here. McDermott and Allen.
How many years does that go? Long time together.
I mean, it's how many years
you
does
know
that
who,
go?
You know who might be good for the Bills on this is going to be Allen and Dawkins. Those two are going to play 15 years together.
I mean, how many more years does Dawkins have left?
He's 30, and he plays a position that Jason Peters is still in the league.
That's right.
He's 42. I mean, he's an exception, I know, but like left tackles can play a long time.
Yep.
So that might have another... He could play at least like 30. I don't know. You know, you predict 7 years in the future. But that could be a 15, 16, 17-year relationship.
803-0550 on this, on Amari Cooper. Howard picks the Bills. Look at this. They beat the Jets. They trade for Amari Cooper. And now he's going to come in and just drop the 15-2 hammer. I feel it. I feel it coming. All of our fears have been taken care of, courtesy of the Bills making a trade for a receiver. Howard picks the Bills, and we'll see where he is emotionally on the Mets, who, of course, have game three tied 1-1 with the Dodgers. Jeremy and Joe, and your calls. We're wide open with Howard and wide open the rest of the way here on WGR.
I don't think Amari Cooper is going to come in and be a big-time field stretcher for the Bills. You know, maybe earlier in his career that was more of what he did, but to your point, the Bills are kind of choosy with their shot plays, which doesn't necessarily line up with the frequency that Josh Allen throws the ball down the field. And so I think where Cooper's really going to be an asset is in the intermediate areas where you just need a guy to go get a bucket, to run a route, to uncover, to be a route technician and separate.
1 hour ago, we talked with Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast and Locked On NFL Scouting podcast. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Wednesday. It's nice out there. It's been chilly.
It's a little cold out there.
Been chilly.
Yeah,
it's that wet cold where it says it's 56 and it feels like it's 25.
It's like 40 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's 40.
I saw my breath this morning.
Lows in the 30s for a couple days here. But then by next week, we're creeping back up. Sunday for the stadium looks high of 66.
Beautiful.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Good day.
See if I can get any flyover information.
What's the...
get a new flyover? Right.
What's the menu?
Oh, I'm not... Nothing.
You're not doing a tailgate?
I mean, yeah, but I got a pregame show.
Whatever.
No, we do menus for road games. Menus for road games, not home games anymore. Home games are just, you know...
So you're working on the menu for Seattle?
This would be an easier one. This is Nashville hot chicken.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not exactly easy to do at a tailgate. I mean, you need a deep fryer for Nashville hot chicken, which is delicious. Anyway.
Yeah.
Before we get to Howard Picks the Bills... Just checking on your hope tank, your belief tank. Previously, it was they made the playoffs. This is amazing for the Mets.
Yeah.
Then it was, you know, just beat the Phillies. That'd be great. And then they don't stand a chance against the Dodgers. And then they lost 9-0 in game one. And you probably thought, like, you know, that's fine.
It was a good run.
And they win game two.
Yeah.
And now,
feeling good.
All right.
You know, just don't.
Expectations?
Please let's not talk about this on the air.
Had you seen the stat about teams that lost 9-0 or worse in game one? It's the weirdest stat ever.
They've gone on to win no series.
Teams that have lost by nine or more runs in game one in Major League Baseball postseason history are 6-0.
By the way,
They've won every series.
Yeah, I wonder how many teams have lost by nine or more runs.
Let me make sure it was Major League Baseball, not just the NL.
Now I'm nervous.
It was either the NL or Major League Baseball. But yeah, 6-0.
Never say that to a Mets fan.
I'm just saying. History's on your side.
Listen, I'm not wanting to look ahead, but if they were to make it, can you handle a Subway Series?
So I'm going to tell you something that very few people know.
Okay. It's just between us.
If it's Mets-Yankees, I have tickets for game one at Yankee Stadium.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not really sure I want to go.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. They're already selling tickets to the World Series?
I have a connection.
Oh, you've got an in with the Yankees.
It was an internal sale.
That's right.
So I was able to get a couple of tickets with one very important rule. Can't wear Mets gear. Remember the Seinfeld episode when Elaine
Orioles,
goes in wearing Orioles stuff in like the owner's box or something? Can't wear Mets gear. Anyway, we're getting way ahead of things.
Listen, Joe Mixon is going to be furious they're selling tickets to a game that might happen.
The number of people who will always bring up the Bengals being angry about tickets being sold.
That's my favorite.
When it's standard operating procedure.
It's one of my favorite grudges. I'm never giving it back.
The Mets would be the sixth, by the way, on that stat. So five teams have won game one by nine or more and shut out their opponent, and they all five lost the series.
Listen, Howard, everything's going great these days. You've got the Sabres beat the Stanley Cup champs and look like they're playing a solid brand of hockey. Go ahead and win tonight and keep the vibes going. The Bills won a stupid game. Everybody wants to call that game stupid.
Boy, it was one of the stranger
games
ever.
Joe was at the game, and he said that Bills and Jets fans were commiserating in how bad the game
was. We were all like talking to each other, like, this is the dumbest game we've ever seen. No team wants to win it. The refs wanted to win it more than the two teams.
It ruined the game.
Yeah.
You could not enjoy any play. Remember how we used to worry about don't celebrate a turnover, you have to wait for replay to confirm it? Now you couldn't celebrate a play the other night because you were waiting to see if there was a flag on the field. I don't know how that crew gets to work Sunday. I mean, they just shouldn't be allowed to work a game this Sunday. That was ridiculous.
Well,
anyway, but the Bills won. No, the Bills won. The Mets won game two. The Sabres won. Knock on wood. Seems. And the Bills traded for Amari Cooper.
Right. Minutes after the Jets traded for their
receiver.
Feeling
very much energized by the Amari Cooper trade.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yes, it was. It's very much needed. I thought, so Joe wasn't here yesterday. We did the Bills, post-game, basically, in the morning on a night game. And the number of people that called and said, all right, I'm really happy they won, good win, but holy cow, they still need a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Right.
Chris, Sal, every caller. And then they act quickly. So good for them not waiting too long. You know, why rent a player for 8 games when you can do it for 12?
Absolutely.
Or 11, whatever it is. So it's not just the win. It's also Amari Cooper. It's the rest of the league. Let's get to Howard Picks the Bills and see where they go from here.
A tradition unlike any other.
I'm just telling people now, don't yell at me. If they lose and you're angry with my Pick the Bills on Tuesday, tough.
It's time for Howard to Pick the Bills!
Rodgers is getting hit and he looks old. Their offense the last two games has been putrid. I will take the Bills to win this game.
Score?
9-6.
Okay.
He lines up under center over the left side, and he is in for a 1-yard touchdown run. Josh Allen's first rushing touchdown since week one. Rodgers looking to load up, fires deep, rainbow down the field, looking for Mike Williams, and it's intercepted! Taron Johnson, welcome back!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Bills by 3, I got it right.
You did, and each team only scored 3 points in the second half.
Yeah, that's right.
So you kind of got half the game right.
There you go.
Okay, time for Howard Picks the Bills. This week it's Tennessee.
The Will Levis Experience comes to a building near us.
I mean, I'm thrilled about it. This guy, whatever. I don't want to get too far. It's you were supposed to pick the Bills. This guy is going to have a very bad day.
I would think so.
He is going to have a very bad, not so good, very bad day.
Yeah. More completions to Bills receivers than his own?
I mean,
ooh.
I just,
No, I don't think that's good.
I don't know about that.
Joe's looking up the odds on this right
now. No, this is the kind of game where the Titans will be down 17 and handing the ball off.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what else are we supposed to do? Will Levis is going to have a very, very bad day.
I would agree. I believe this should be a fun day for Bills fans. A little less stressful than recent games. I'll take the Bills to beat the Titans.
Win. Then Seattle. The Seahawks, who, I don't know, like,
I'm not impressed.
They got to a hot start, and it looks like it was maybe some smoke and mirrors. They're not so good. However, if you're worried about, well, the only thing that could beat the Bills would be a run game, they might commit to it, and they've got a running back that's pretty good in Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, and Breece Hall looked good the other night.
He had not looked good this year.
No, he had been awful up until Monday night against the Bills. Yeah, I actually am going to do... I'm going to give Seattle still a win in this game. I'm not flipping that one just yet. I might get there eventually, but not right now.
So 5-3, home against Miami.
Which we think is Tua?
We think so. He is going to return.
I don't think it honestly matters. I mean, Miami has yet to prove they can actually beat a really good team when it matters, so I will take the Bills.
Bills win, beat Miami, 6-3. At Indianapolis, who knows who plays quarterback
They're going to go back to Anthony Richardson, aren't they?
They are. They're doing that this week.
Because they're all about developing him.
He'll play half a game and get hurt, and they'll go back to Joe Flacco.
Yeah. Well, they're actually better with Flacco. I'll take the Bills to win that game.
Okay, 7-3.
Bills-Chiefs after that. It's right before the bye week. I want to tell you something about the Chiefs. So, I mentioned to Joe earlier, one of the first calls I got after the Bills traded for Amari Cooper was from Carrington Harrison, who we have on the show from time to time. He hosts the drive there in Kansas City, talks Chiefs all the time. And in the course of asking me about this trade, asked about the value for a third-round pick because he said he's been wanting the Chiefs to make that trade.
Oh.
They want Amari Cooper. Yeah. That ship has sailed. So if you want to feel a little better about it, in Kansas City,
good.
It was, you got the guy I wanted.
They've
got
to get somebody.
They probably will.
They have to get
Deontay
somebody.
Johnson,
right?
DeAndre Hopkins. Anyway, Bills, Chiefs.
I will take the Bills' re-energized offense to win this game. With Amari Cooper, I'm feeling a little better about the Bills' offense. So I'll take the Bills to beat the Chiefs.
Niners at Bills.
The Niners are not playing at a level I thought they would be at. I know they've had some injuries, some stuff going on the offensive side of the ball. But for now, I'm going to leave that a Niners win. Let me just see them play a few more times, but I'm not as impressed as I was when the schedule came out. For now, though, I'll say Niners.
The Niners are, it'll be an interesting matchup if these two teams play the way they are right now, because the Bills are giving up explosive plays, and the Niners are moving the ball and then stalling in the red zone.
I think it was eight plays of 20 yards or more the other night against the Jets.
It's a lot. I saw Joe B's numbers on the last three games.
It's
a lot of explosive plays.
It could look like what Monday did, though, where the Jets were moving the ball, and then they were 1-for-4 in the red zone.
Right. And they just stall out.
Yeah.
There was a time in that game it looked like it was 27-20 Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Holding, missed field goal.
Did you get a call or two on the Hail Mary?
You know, yes. We didn't talk enough
about it. The Hail Mary or defensive ends playing safety?
The play before the Hail Mary.
It's wild.
It is worse.
I can't believe the play before.
It is worse.
I'm trying to remember the play before the Hail Mary.
They lined up in the same defense. They allowed them to get a free 14 yards to get into Hail Mary zone with
Epinesa
and Rousseau playing 20 yards off the line.
They're playing in the middle of the field 20 yards down the line.
They didn't take away the sideline until the next play.
Right, but they still had the defensive ends 20 yards back.
Yeah, right.
It's the wildest personnel thing I feel like I've ever seen.
Also, let's be real about taking the sideline away. If they threw a ball out there to Alan Lazard, you think like Epinesa's going to track him down? Because I don't.
In space, right?
Yeah, I don't.
It's so weird.
Well, yeah. They prevented Zuerlein from taking a field goal attempt, though, so I guess the strategy worked. What are we doing? San Francisco, we're on to the Rams.
On to the Rams. Bills at Rams.
Bills get a win.
Win. At the Lions, will Detroit run a trick play?
Of course they will.
They do it like every week.
Don't they have to? Aren't they legally obligated to?
Listen, this is where I want to see it. I'm going to design a trick play right now. This is the play the Bills must run this year. On the play where Allen did like a long, almost looked like he was going to pull it for a boot, but he handed it off to Ray Davis. And then he swept around and he was looking for the lateral.
Hmm. Yes, he was. He wanted it.
I want that called with a lateral.
Ooh.
The handoff goes.
It's like a counter.
Davis is thrown back to Josh?
Yes. Instead of being a naked boot, he gives the ball to Davis, who then throws it the naked boot throwback. we'll call it.
I think I like
watch this. That play. If the Bills watch that play on film and see, what if we had Ray throw? No one's gonna see that coming.
I wonder if Joe Brady's listening.
I'd love to be in the room when that play comes up on film. And just Josh in the room, like, guys, when this play happens, I want you to let. And the coach is just like, after Josh leaves the room, he's like, don't let her.
No, he'll say that. He'll say that. And Brady will be like, I'll bring it up.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun. I'm okay with that.
McDermott, we'll see what he says about that. I mean, seriously, that play.
Well, trick plays have gone well for the Bills this season, so why not?
This play's a lot better designed than the first
Detroit's
one.
Detroit's a very good one. I'll take Detroit to
Detroit.
Win. Detroit to win.
They lined a tackle up out wide. They're cocky.
I saw. They threw to him, right? Yeah. Didn't they throw to him? They tried to. Complete it, but they did do tackle-eligible throw.
Patriots at Bills with Drake May. Hey, who could have predicted? Drake May goes in and the offense looks a little bit energized. I think Drake May can play. He ran a little bit. His over-under on rushing yards in his debut was 25.5. I don't know if he got to 25, but he can play. I think Drake May is good.
Still.
They're not going to beat the Bills.
I was thinking about this, right? Miami, 2 years ago? Tyreek Hill. The Jets, Davante Adams. The Bills, Amari Cooper. New England.
DeMario Douglas. Keyshawn Boutte. Don't hate. These guys had They actually got some plays once Drake May got in there.
They still are so far from having dangerous weapons in terms of their skill set, their skill players. So anyway, Bills will beat New England.
He ran for 38 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can play. Got that mobility you need. All right, Bills, Jets, the rematch.
You know, I thought that might be meaningless for the Jets by the end of the season because they might Jets all over themselves. But I think the Adams trade's a nice trade. And actually, Aaron Rodgers looked a hell of a lot better than I thought he would the other
night. It's the best he's looked all year against the Bills.
Right. It's his best game as a Jet, short sample size.
The deal for the Jets, while we're at it, is fine for them. And I don't think they should be mocked for it. They want to make the playoffs, which is a noble thing for a team with the longest drought in American sports to want to do.
Why would you be mocking? Actually, Lazard's been a bum until the other night. He's been dropping passes all over. Now they have Garrett Wilson, Davante Adams as their top two receivers. That's a very good trade for the Jets. Anyway, I'll take the Bills to win.
Bills. And then finally, one last game against New England to close it out in New England.
Bills will win.
Bills. So I think that's only five losses. 12 and 5. Okay, that's the division.
Definitely the division.
I don't think
it's probably one the two. Seed. Probably the two.
It's
or three
two or
seed.
Three. You're already down a tiebreaker to Baltimore and Houston.
Yeah. So it. Ooh. Yeah. That's right. Could be the four seed.
Could be.
If Baltimore and Houston run away with their divisions, and
Kansas City's the one.
Yeah. Could be the four.
Baltimore's in a division that doesn't appear to be over. The other three look like they're over.
Well, Cincinnati's showing signs of life.
Yeah, but they're so far
Pittsburgh
back.
Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh. They're just... But anyway, I would think Baltimore will still go ahead and win that division.
All right.
All right, fellas. Nice to see everybody doing okay. We're all good.
Yes, sir.
Getting ready for the hockey game?
Yeah, I'm excited about the hockey game tonight.
Very good.
Yeah.
Hey, watch. Did you see the NHL series on Prime? That behind-the-scenes thing?
I know
thing?
Of it, yeah.
I started watching it last night.
Okay.
It's very good.
Which episode was that? Was it the McDavid episode?
I watched the first one with Pasternak and Willie Nylander, which I thought was actually very interesting. And then I skipped over to the last two episodes. Well, I watched episode 5 right through the first two games of the final, including the McDavid blow up in the locker room.
Yeah.
And then I've got to go watch the finale.
So you skipped the Eichel episode because isn't there one?
I am not watching Eichel.
You won't
I'm
do
not going to watch it. No.
I
didn't like the trailer. The preview of the first... The first is there's so many Eichel clips in there. I cannot handle that. I'm sorry. I cannot watch Jack Eichel succeed. It's really hard. I'm not watching that episode.
Right. He's leading the league in scoring.
I don't want to hear that,
stories
Joe.
About him winning the Hart.
Joe! Ha! 6-0, Joe. Teams that lose in the baseball. I can't watch Eichel. I'm not watching that episode.
Olsen's got 3 goals.
Olsen has 3 goals in 4 games.
4 games. It's anyway, 7 last year.
It's well done, so watch it. The McDavid stuff was really good.
All right.
See you, boys.
Yeah.
Thanks to Mark for listening from Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah, hey, Mark.
On the Facebook
I've got family in Melbourne, Mark. I do. Really?
Really?
Yeah. I got a cousin.
That isn't Mark.
No, not Mark.
Okay.
Well, now I got a place to stay.
Yes.
That's good.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. See you, fellas.
Well, my job is to ask
get
what...
a job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry Jones, in his weekly interview, said he'll get somebody else to ask the questions.
Man, Because he was being asked about no offseason moves.
Right.
He's like, well, you know, this in 1970 happened. We don't talk about the past then.
We'll make that terrible. Worst call Wednesday. Jerry Jones.
Yeah, he's going to be under fire on all the TV shows today.
Imagine being so small to threaten their jobs for asking you questions. Be smaller as a person. Hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's Worst Call Wednesday. Which is brought to you by Roswell Park. Worst call you can make is to not
threaten somebody's job.
No, is to not get the appropriate checkups. Stay ahead of your screenings, whether it's prostate cancer, mammograms. We're doing that as well. RoswellPark.org/mammo. So the Worst Call Wednesday brought to you by Roswell Park. We have a wide open hour. Anybody wants to talk? We got to get the review of Bethpage Black from you.
I can't wait to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it every day for the next year.
All right. That's it. We'll be back. It's not it for us. We got a whole nother hour. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.